Are you someone who loves Christmas to the point that you really hate to take the decorations down, even if it's now January 15th? If you answered yes, you are a Noelophile. And so am I, and this show is for you. Hi, I'm Dot Cannon, also known as Noella Noelophile, and welcome to my Noelophile podcast. On this show, we're going to be talking about Christmas in general and California Christmas in particular.
I wasn't happy with anything I saw on the market. I wasn't pleased with their quality or even the feel that they gave. My husband suggested to me, well, why don't you think about selling your dolls? So I did a little bit of research and found that rag dolls are loved and cherished because of their unique and one-of-a-kind nature.
Award-winning fiber artist Christina Kyle creates one-of-a-kind fabric dolls with a focus on quality and a lot of love, imagination, and a sense of fun. Christina's original creations can range from mermaids and fairies to pretty much anything within reason that her customers can imagine. And although her small business, Fun with Pretend, has only been in existence since August of 2015, her work has already garnered 3 awards, including Best of Show at the 2016 Los Angeles County Fair. Christina, how'd you first get interested in fabric art specifically?
My grandmother, my father's mother, she has always been a great inspiration to me. She is an award-winning quilter in Mississippi. And so when I would go to visit, I always wanted to do what she was doing. And she always made dolls for me and toys for me. And she made a lot of my clothes when I was a kid. And so as I got older and I was able to start to learn from her, it just became a passion and a hobby, something that I did in college to relieve stress or to, you know, contribute donation, like donated quilts and prayer quilts through my church. So it's something that it started with her and kind of grew from there.
What do you remember best as one of your absolute favorite dolls that you made under your grandma's supervision?
Well, I have to say the doll that I made for my daughter when she turned one. When she turned one, I went looking for dolls, and I wasn't happy with anything I saw on the market. I wasn't pleased with the way they looked. I wasn't pleased with their quality or just even the aura or the feel that they gave. And so I was talking to my grandmother about it on the phone, and she kind of was like, hey, well, you know how to do this. You should just make her a doll. So that doll's name is Liberty, and she was probably my favorite to put together because I was calling my grandmother regularly for tips and advice and, you know, questions and making sure that I was doing it right. And it was a really wonderful bonding experience with my grandmother and just a wonderful gift to give to my daughter as well. So I think that's my favorite doll.
What a neat family keepsake Liberty must be too.
Yes.
How did you go from loving what you do, making dolls for fun and your wonderful experiences with your grandma, to creating your small business, Fun with Pretend?
A couple different ways. I'm a stay-at-home mom currently, and we're blessed that I'm able to do that. But I have the goal of sending my children to private Christian school. So I had been looking for something that I could do that would allow me to be at home with them, but still bring in a little income to supplement, you know, tuition to school. So I had kind of had it in my mind that I was looking for something that, you know, I could do as a source of income, but something that I enjoyed and something that, you know, possibly made a difference in the world. And so my husband was the one who suggested to me, well, why don't you think about selling your dolls? If you as a mom are not liking the dolls on the market, there's got to be other moms out there who don't like the toys and dolls on the market. So I did a little bit of research and found that fabric dolls can be a niche, but that rag dolls, fabric dolls seem to be something that's hard to find, but are loved and cherished because of their unique and one-of-a-kind nature. So I launched into it, and I joined the Torrance Craftsman Guild, and really just originally thought I would just sell, you know, a couple times a year with the guild, but as people have gotten to know me in the area, it's kind of bloomed a little bit more than just at the Torrance Craft Fair. So far it's, you know, it's a great way to bond with my kids because they get to be a part of it. And it's a wonderful gift for people to give to their loved ones, and they make it very personal. And it's really nice to be a part of their experience and helping them to create the doll they have in their mind.
How long have you had Fun with Pretend now?
Officially, in August, we've been a business for a year.
Yay! Congratulations. Happy anniversary.
Yeah. Thank you.
What was that like, if you take me back in your imagination, for the very first time that you sold those dolls as Fun with Pretend? What was going through your mind?
Actually, a little bit of insecurity. I was very concerned about the quality of what I was selling and what I was giving to others. So I was a little insecure that it was the highest possible quality. And I knew in my heart I had done, you know, everything that I could do. But competing with, you know, mass market, you're always thinking that people are going to look down on your handmade item because it wasn't made in a factory and doesn't have a big label tag. So I think just that I wanted to put out the highest quality ball. And as a quality assurance president of my company, that is always my biggest concern, that, you know, I want it to be perfect and I want it to, you know, last them forever. And so that was a lot of what was going through my mind. But there was a friend of mine, when I was expressing this anxiety that, you know, people would think it was lower quality because it was handmade, she sent me pictures of some toys that she had bought in the store, and the seams were popping out, the stitches were misstitched. She sent me just all these pictures of what you would think of as an imperfection in a toy that you purchased that was mass produced by a huge company. And it just kind of refined for me that, you know, part of the handmade nature of it is those little imperfections that somebody may get, the little misstitch, but that I know in my heart that I have made the best possible product, the best possible doll. And I have my own small children, so making sure that toys are safe for everybody in the family, for kids of all ages. My kids are separated by 2.5 years, so one is ready for small parts and one is not. And there's a lot of frustration, I know, with parents who have small kids, that not all toys are safe for all kids in the house. And so became an expert on, I read the ASTM safety manual for toys many times and can probably quote lines to you of it. But that was probably my biggest thing, was that somebody was going to think that it was lesser because it was handmade.
And while you were sitting there thinking that and realizing from what your friend had sent you with the pictures that, no, maybe people are not going to think that, what kind of a reaction did you get from your buyers?
You know, I think it really changed the way that I was interacting with them. I don't know if it changed anything for the buyers, but I think it just changed. I felt more confident as a doll maker. I felt more confident in what I was doing and realized that some people are looking. And that was kind of the point of the dolls, was that you can buy a mass-produced doll that looks the same and acts the same and moves the same in any store, but you get a one-of-a-kind doll with me, and that means that there may be a misfit or there may be, you know, something that's a little bit different about it, but there's something a little bit different about all of us. None of us are perfect, and the same is true for dolls. No doll is absolutely perfect, and so that it just made me, it was kind of a self-actualization for myself. I don't know if it really affected my customers, but I stand firm on that this is the highest quality I could make, and that I put a lot of time, effort, and energy into making sure that it's safe as well. And so it just kind of changed my ability to put myself out there a little bit more, I think.
And I love what you say on your website, because pretty much what you were saying before, should be safe for all the children in the household. But when you have your blog post, What I Believe a Toy Should Be, further on down, you say something to the general effect of toys can be beautiful, but this shouldn't be setting the standards of beauty.
Correct.
Would you tell me a little bit about this?
Well, I've always been very aware of how the outside world, the image that the outside world creates for women, and this standard that women and girls are kind of put up against when it comes to media images and television and what you see in magazines and even on the internet. And a lot of times those images are very unfair. And we should celebrate that we are all individual and we are all unique and that we all look different and that nobody is airbrushed in real life. And that's part of what makes us the awesome people that we are. And so when I was looking at all these plastic dolls and all these dolls that were absolutely the same, it made me realize that part of my mission in creating rag dolls for little girls or little boys is that they need to love who they are. And there's a lot of power in a doll that they see that looks like them and that they can make a connection to because they see themselves in it. And so when we're giving our daughters and our sons toys to play with, I think they should also reflect the values that we want our children to have, which that we're all individual, we're all unique, and we're all perfect just the way we were made.
And I love how these dolls look. I first got drawn to your angel doll, and she's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
But would you also draw me some word pictures of what you have right now? What are you creating in the area of dolls?
Right now, pixies and fairies are kind of, and mermaids are the main sources of inspiration for me right now. I just worked on a doll that I submitted to the LA County Fair, and I'll tell you this, but the fair hasn't opened, so I haven't made it official yet. But the pixie doll that I drafted the pattern for and had the doll digitized to be able to do it on my embroidery machine, she won Best in Show for Help a Child Smile.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So that's something that's very exciting to me, that it was completely my pattern. Her face and her hair, her everything is my artwork. And I really kind of poured my heart into this little pixie. And the lady who digitized it for me just had a wonderful heart about it too and was wonderful to work with. So right now I'm kind of in the world of the pixies and seeing where that kind of takes me. My grandmother, my mom's mother, used to tell me stories about pixies all the time. And it was a conversation online with Barb Lieberman that she hosted a Facebook event, a fundraising event for her walk with MS. And it was actually in a conversation there that I remembered all the stories that my grandmother had told me about the fairies. And from that sprung this fairy in my head that I then put on paper that now became a doll that will be donated to a child in a hospital, but that was also judged Best in Show. So that's just kind of amazing to me. So I'm following the pixies, and my daughter's really into mermaids. So I've been drafting some mermaid patterns as well.
We actually recorded this interview in summer of 2016. So now that the LA County Fair is over, it seems fair to tell you that in addition to winning Best of Show for that division, Christina's pixie doll won first place, and her hand-sewn mermaid doll also won third place in the rag doll toys division. Now, Christina does take custom orders for her dolls, but if you'd like a specific design for this Christmas, now might just be the time to contact her. Here on your Facebook page, it says you had so many custom orders. By December 1st of last year, you had to stop taking orders.
I did, yes.
Didn't mean to embarrass you with that, but that is wonderful considering you'd only been in business 4 months. Which leads me to ask, if people want custom orders of any type, how soon, given that this goes up on my website in October, do they need to get a hold of you?
I would say by mid-November. If they haven't contacted me, there's a good chance I won't be able to fill an order for Christmas. That's just the busiest season. I actually start thinking about Christmas now in July. So the sooner the better to get in an order, especially if it's something that needs to be mailed. If it's out of state, then you have to allow for shipping as well. But I would say by mid-November, if you haven't put an order in or you haven't, there's probably a good chance I won't be able to make a Christmas deadline. So quickly.
Quick as a reindeer, like my mom used to say.
Right. Right.
Is your website the quickest way to get a hold of you? Funwithpretend.com?
Actually, I'll be honest, my Facebook page is probably the quickest way to get a hold of me. My husband does my webpage, so I don't actually know how to write the code for the webpage. But Facebook is something that I do regularly and I'm on regularly. So Facebook is probably the best way. And then from Facebook, I will send an order form that has specifications on what you're looking for so that I can start to get an idea of what kind of doll you're looking for. There are always limits on what you can translate into needle and thread, but I do my best to match an image or match an idea. So I would say Facebook Messenger is probably the best way, and you can message me straight on my Facebook page.
Facebook.com, look for Fun With Pretend, and there's the added bonus that now they get to see all the pictures of all the cool stuff you've made.
Correct, yes.
including all we've talked about so far are dolls. I loved your cats.
Oh, thank you.
You made something really, really cute for it looks like a bridal shower. You can tell that I'm scrolling up and down your Facebook page as we speak. And it strikes me what a good decoration this might be for a Christmas party as well. Would you tell me what you did with the clothespin?
So the clothespin game seems to be very popular at bridal showers and baby showers. And I just wanted to step it up a bit for my best friend who's getting married in October. And I'm actually doing a custom veil for her as well. So you'll see pictures of that after her wedding. So I wanted to just step it up a bit. I wanted to do something a little bit different. And I wanted to make it like a hostess gift that you give to all the guests when they leave, something that was, you know, you could just hand them a clothespin and say, hey, think about this person and pray for them every time you see it. But when it's got a beautiful little flower on it, you actually want to put it somewhere that you can see and it's going to help you remember. So those were created as a gift for all of the guests who came so that they could take it home. And every time they see it, they're reminded to pray for the bride and pray for the groom and pray for their marriage, that they continue to be successful as a married couple and grow in love with each other. So that was just kind of a, how do I make something that's different and unique and special? And that's what came from it.
I loved that. Now, we've already said that you were making the fairies, or the pixies, rather, and the mermaids, which are adorable. Are you making any specific Christmas-style dolls?
I usually use Christmas fabric for a particular kind of dolls when I'm selling in the fall. So they kind of take on a Christmas theme. I would like to eventually do some sort of elf or goodness doll. I did have some goodness dolls last fall, and they actually sold out the first day of the fair. But they're smaller in nature. They're about 13 inches long from top of the head to bottom of the feet. And the idea behind the goodness doll is that you remember to do good and that you spread Christmas all year long and not just in the month of December. So I'm hoping to actually do something more with that in the next year and with this season, that you'll be able to go to my Facebook page or the website and you'll be able to get ideas on how can you spread goodness and Christmas cheer all year and not just in the month of December, and that they should remind us to keep Christmas in our hearts all year. So they were my favorite to make. They're in Christmas colors, but they're not particularly Christmassy. They don't have like Santa Claus or anything, but they're usually all in Christmas colors and have sort of a Christmas feel to them.
And in fact, I'm looking at one right this minute, this little boy doll that you made, and he is a cutie.
Thank you.
You draw all your own patterns, I believe.
The goodness doll that you see on Facebook currently is an Oma's Place pattern. I can't take credit for the pattern. The way I do my hair is different than the way that she suggests it. And the way I do clothing is different than the way she has the pattern set up. But the face of those goodness dolls is currently hers. But the ones that I will be having this year will be mine. So now that I've gained confidence as a pattern drafter and I'm learning how to digitize those patterns, I won't be selling other people's patterns anymore. I'll only be selling dolls for my patterns.
Do you ever teach classes or anything, or sell patterns that you've created for those of us that handcraft stuff?
I would absolutely love to teach doll making classes. I did teach some Girl Scouts last October, November, how to make a peanut doll. You can see that on Facebook as well. I taught them some basic doll making so that they could put little dolls in their Operation Christmas Child boxes. So that was a lot of fun. I drafted that pattern particularly for them so that it would be something that was easy sew and that would fit inside the shoebox. So that was a lot of fun to do. All of the girls that were in that class have that pattern, and they can make as many dolls from it as they like. And the girls really had a lot of fun. We talked about how important it was to have a snuggly friend when you were in a time of crisis or when you felt lonely or scared, and that they were giving this gift to a child that they didn't even know, that may never get a doll otherwise. And so that was a really great experience with the Girl Scouts to teach them how to make a doll that was tangible and easy for them to do. It was also a great opportunity for me to draft a pattern and a usable pattern. So that is the peanut doll. I haven't decided if I'm going to only distribute that when I teach classes or if I'm going to post that, because it is a doll that you can put in Operation Christmas Child, and I love that mission. The pixie doll that was submitted to the LA County Fair, that digital pattern will be available through the lady that digitized it. And I believe she will be posting it on her website, which is Mosaic Designs. But at this time, I'm not positive that's the website she's going to post it at. But that digital pattern will be available probably within the next month or so.
Wow. If you'll be sure and update me, I'll link to where she has that and just say Original Pattern by Christina Kyle.
Wonderful.
As we wrap up here, Christina, where can people see your work? Where will you be exhibiting during the Christmas season especially?
I will most definitely be doing the Torrance Craftsman Guild Holiday Fair that will be in November. That's usually the weekend before Thanksgiving, I believe. I will be at that two-day fair for sure. I haven't decided on any other holiday events at this time. I'm not sure, because of custom orders, I'm not sure if I will be at many fairs over the holiday season or if I will be focusing on custom orders. So at this time, I can say I will definitely be at the Torrance Holiday Fair. I will post where I will be at on my Facebook page as well. So if you're interested in coming to an event, I will post on my Facebook page where I'll be.
What's an average workday like for you as an entrepreneur?
Well, because I do the majority of my sewing when my children are either asleep or playing with their dad, my husband works all day. So usually during the day, I am responding electronically to messages or updating my Facebook page or Instagram. But so my workday is actually usually about 8:30 p.m. to 1 or 2 a.m. And then sometimes I will get up as early as 4:35 and I'll work from 4:35 to about 8 o'clock when the kids are awake. So that's usually when I'm sewing. On the weekends, Sundays are usually, Sunday afternoon after church is usually my husband takes the kids and they go and do something, and I devote Sunday afternoon to sewing and working on custom orders. But if I get a custom order in, everything focuses on getting that custom order done. I don't actually sleep much until I have it done, because it's important to me that I have it done in enough time and before the deadline. But that's usually when I'm working, is late into the night and early into the morning.
It's all about loving what you do, I bet.
Yes. Yeah, well, and I'll be honest, sometimes I have a doll in my head and I can't sleep until I've sketched it out or I've completed it in the sewing room. So sometimes it's just, as an artist, I have this passion, this drive to get it out to bring the idea to life. And so sometimes that drives the late into the night or super early in the morning. This morning I woke up super early because I had something in my head I just needed to sketch out and get done. So I guess it's just sort of an artist's life to, you know, be passionate. But coloring time, I often draft with my kids during coloring time. They like to color and draw, and so it's sometimes an opportunity for me to sketch while they are coloring and drawing too. So when you have kids and you're at home with them, and that's your number one priority, you squeeze it in, you eke it out every way you can.
We haven't said a word about the fact that you also have dolls and toys kids can color.
Yes. Yes. Those are various designers that have posted patterns. I can't take credit for any of the actual artwork of the Color Pal, but they're a great idea, and I thought that they would be a wonderful thing to share. They're my favorite birthday gift to give when we're invited to birthday parties. But they keep kids quiet. They can recreate, and it is actually a favorite at the fairs and a favorite among my son's friends. So.
Christina, thank you for your time today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much, Dot.
You and I have been listening to Christina Kyle, award-winning doll maker and owner of the small business Fun with Pretend. You'll find pictures of the dolls Christina has designed and hand-sewn on her Facebook page, facebook.com/funwithpretend. Once again, that's facebook.com/funwithpretend. And as Christina says, that's the quickest way to contact her. Once again, facebook.com/funwithpretend. And that concludes this edition of Noella File. Thank you for listening, and may your Christmas season be of the best quality, filled with smiles, and crafted with a lot of love and imagination.